The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
This is a ForceCast Microcast.
Size matters not.
Brought to you by TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
You may fire when ready.
Star Wars Cantina.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Hey, Forcecasters. Welcome back to another fabulous microcast, and we are joined this time by two of the very accomplished Star Wars artists that we haven't gotten to talk to yet, so we're glad to have them on board. We have Tommy Lee Edwards and Chris Trevis on with us. Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Hi.
Hey. I'm good.
Good. Now, we've talked to a lot of the artists, and we always like to get a background about how you got started in the Star Wars universe. And, of course, we're going to kind of get to a couple of the projects that you guys have coming up. But, Tommy Lee, if you could kind of start out, just tell us how you got involved as a Star Wars artist. Now, I mean, you kind of dabble in a lot of everything, but if you could just tell us how Star Wars got to be a part of your career.
As far as Star Wars goes, I think Chris and I and a lot of us are all the same generation where we grew up, you know, wanting to draw Star Wars when we grew up. And then as a professional, while I was doing lots of other comics and books and things, I wanted to draw Star Wars. And at the time, this was before Episode One was coming out, and I thought I really wanted to do Star Wars, especially since, you know, stuff was gearing up again.
Mm-hmm.
So Al Williamson contacted me to see if I wanted to do the movie adaptation with him for the new Episode One, and Dark Horse wasn't interested in having me draw it, and I kept trying to go the comics route and could never really get any work, and then finally I ended up finding out about a certain job at Random House for Episode One, which was a children's book called Darth Maul's Revenge, and
a great title for a children's book, of course.
Yes. Well, what was funny was actually what I found out, and I mean, my son at the time was 6 months old, and he loved Darth Maul. So I think most kids liked him more than the typical, you know, Jar Jar and stuff.
Yeah.
Because the red and black, and he's fun to watch. So, I just kind of found out about that job. And I was a little discouraged wanting to get Star Wars work but not really being able to, where Dark Horse Comics felt like, oh, Lucasfilm's never going to like your work and everything. And then I contacted Random House and made sure it was okay to send them some samples and everything. And then and I got the job to do the Darth Maul kids book and then another kids book after that. And then the magazine stuff and book stuff and RPG stuff all kind of started coming along, and as you go, you get to build a relationship with the guys at Lucasfilm and the different licensees. So that's how I first got started was with the Young Reader kids book back on around Episode One time.
Now, when you were getting ready to do that, did you get any information, any you know, kind of the secret behind the scenes stuff as far as the movie went, or was this kind of a completely different route as far as everything went?
That book kind of came a little later in the where everything wasn't quite a secret, so I was able to get a lot of stuff, a lot of reference and all that. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there were other ones. I did another one called Obi-Wan's Foe, another of that same kind of Young Readers line, and they had nothing, you know, so. And another one I did for Episode Two called Anakin Apprentice, and I had to do a painting of Padme's apartment from the outside, and I would contact Lucasfilm and say, can I have reference? And they said, well, there is none, just make it up, you know. So I would just make stuff up, and nine times out of ten, they're fine with it, you know. So And then I finally saw Padme's apartment. It's nothing like what I painted, but whatever.
Well, yeah, no, she moved after that one.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, you know, when you're working from, you know, like a character like General Grievous, I couldn't, there wasn't any models yet on how his arms would really separate and stuff when I was drawing him. So there was a lot of hard stuff while you're working on something that can be published, you know, and in the stores just before the movie comes out. You know, you're working from really rough concepts and stuff by Ryan Church and all those guys. And they have a tendency to draw so loosely, too, that it's hard to translate their work into like what I do. So,
right.
But yeah, sometimes we get a lot of good sneak peeks though, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, I would think that would be one of the perks of getting into some of the stuff, and hopefully
Star
as
Star Wars, all the movies are completely ruined for my kids.
Yeah, they go to school and they go, oh yeah, I've already seen that and.
Right. Well, and then, my son tells me the stuff that wasn't in it that was supposed to be in it, you know.
Because, oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, where he was waiting for Shaak-Ti to die in episode 3 because he knew that was a scene that was going to be in it.
Right, and we're still waiting for her to die as as we wait for the video game to come out. She has still made it.
I was in Australia the day Star Wars came out, and I called home, and my wife actually kept my son out of school so he could go see it.
That's awesome.
And that's the first thing he said is, Jack, he didn't die. You know, so. But he did cry in the end. That was. It was sad.
Well, Chris, can you tell us a little bit about how you got started?
Sure. I think we're, you know, it's funny that, like, all our stories kind of seem to sound familiar, you know.
Yes.
Set. Yeah, I was back and, you know, always a fan and drawing Star Wars as a kid and stuff and wanting to get into doing Star Wars professionally. I guess it first started back, 95 was when I started working on Star Wars with West End Games. And I had run into those guys at a science fiction convention and showed them my portfolio. And a few months later, they called me up with some work. And I was happy to get started, you know. Fun to actually work on Star Wars, you know, as a real job. And, like Tommy said, it's, once you get started working with Lucasfilm, if they like your stuff, you know, they kind of refer you on to, like, other licensees. And, you know, from West End Games, I started into the kids' books as well. First, I did a kids' book for Golden Books called Meltdown on Hoth, and kind of a behind-the-scenes story from Empire Strikes Back. And you find out what R2 and 3PO are arguing about while they're walking around in Echo Base. And they almost melt down Leia's quarters.
Yes, and that's obviously referenced in the movie as well, so we get to see the actual the thing that started it all.
Yeah, which was fun for me, just kind of, you know, thing just outside of the movie, but could have been. You know, after that, I did a kid's book, it was in the same line with Tommy Lee's Darth Maul's Revenge. It was called Anakin to the Rescue. And, about young Anakin and Jar Jar getting into mischief on Coruscant, you know, kind of in between the movie kind of a thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, it just kind of keeps going from there. I mean, after the kids' books, started working on with the Insider guys for doing artwork for Star Wars Insider, Star Wars Kids magazine. Eventually, doing work for Wizards of the Coast. And then on the new role-playing game.
Kind of just going all over the map.
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
Just getting yourself started. Now,
okay, Random House.
You were actually...
You kind of start to forget after a while.
Right. Yeah. Right. Now, Chris, you were actually pretty young when you got started. Is that right?
It was the year before I got out of college, you know, back in 95. So, I don't know, what was I, 21 or
12?
So? Yeah, I was going to say 8. So, you know, that way you can always lie about age.
I do look back at that work and just kind of cringe, like, ooh, they hired me for that? I think I've grown a lot through the trilogy and over all the different projects, and it's kind of fun to trace it all back. But I can pretty much my whole art career I can follow through Star Wars artwork, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Now, do you have a favorite character or a favorite era or anything that you like to draw?
Hard to pick, really. Empire Strikes Back being my favorite movie, I mean, usually that's my favorite era to draw stuff from.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why the Golden Book was such a kick when I first got that.
Right.
And, I don't know. It's hard to pick favorites. I mean, usually it's the whole, Han, Luke, Leia, the original group. And
right.
Droids and Chewie. And some of the aliens, too. I mean, Greedo and Bossk are probably my two favorite aliens. So any chance to paint them is cool.
Right. Now, Tommy Lee, do you have any favorites?
I think a lot of us that we're working on Star Wars today, since we grew up with the original stuff, that's kind of our favorite to work on, So whenever I'm doing the prequel stuff, I tend to feel like I'm doing it more for my kids,
mm-hmm.
They're 9 and 6, so they're more in tune with that stuff, and I always kind of run the stuff by them and see what they think, and they're like my test audience, so
that's good to have an internal test audience.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always like, I gauge their reactions, and if it's like, oh, cool, or and then I'm like, oh, crap, I gotta mess with this one some more. But with the good old fashioned stuff that we grew up on, that's always the most fun to draw, because it makes you feel like like you did when you were drawing it for fun when you were a kid, and instead of it being purely, I mean, it's never purely just a job because we love what we do, I think, but it's, it's just the extra fun when you're like, God, I remember when I drew this scene when I was, 7 or whatever. So,
right.
I mean, there's stuff that I don't like to do which is like, the expanded universe stuff, just like I'm not as well versed in that stuff,
mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to like the classic trilogy, I know it so well, and I know all the movie stuff really well, where I can draw so much of it out of my head. But the expanded universe stuff, there's so much conflicting reference and so much conflicting, all these different versions of these things, from games to books to comics to, and I have a real hard time drawing that stuff where. I don't know, I just can't get into it as much, where you'd think you'd have more freedom, but at the same time, that stuff is established somewhere, so you have to kind of stay true to what's been done before. And that's actually something that Chris and I did a lot of in the new book that we just finished, where there's a handful of expanded universe stuff that I guess Arish would be our art director on the book. He could tell you a little bit about my feelings of expanded universe.
Well, and I think you talked about it on your blog several times to let everybody know exactly what was going on too. So
yeah, that stuff just gives me such a headache, And then and I'm not complaining. I love it,
Right. It's
really.
It could be definitely can be difficult, especially when you're kind of going off things that are. That have never really appeared in real life, I guess is the only way to say it.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. It's tough when you have to take like one obscure drawing of some. Yeah, there's one drawing I had to do a painting of some Jedi guy who's actually like a beast, a Jedi. Chris, do you know what I'm talking about? he's like an actual Jedi Thrawn or something, but he's like an actual like beast. And, I'm going from some, kind of, very, very loose, kind of very, kind of unrealized drawing from a comic from years ago, and then trying to make that into a very kind of fleshed out, painting, can be pretty tough.
Sure.
But to keep true to it, but also make it, make it your own and make it seem real versus, you know, cartoony or, you know, however, you know, so, but, yeah, I think that's one part where, but then the next time I have to do that kind of stuff, I know more now. So it's kind of a learning experience, you know?
Sure.
So
at least shortens the curve for the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Actually, I was looking at a lot of what Chris was doing. I think, he seems to, I mean, maybe I'm mistaken, but he seems to know that stuff a little better than I. Is that the case, Chris?
I try to keep on top of that stuff. There's so much of it, though.
Yeah. Chris is basically Chris is a bigger nerd than I am.
Well, and we always have a running debate on the show about the EU and how it kind of is. So expansive that it's hard to keep track of, and my co-host is not a huge fan of it. You know, he wants to keep it a little bit tighter so that he knows what's going on and it doesn't swallow itself. So we definitely can sympathize with what you're saying as far as that goes. But before we get a little bit further into the Jedi versus Sith book, let's flash back a little bit to Celebration 4 and just kind of go over what happened there. Tommy Lee, what was your experience like at Celebration 4?
It was pretty cool. I went to college in L.A. and stuff, and I have a lot of friends, and my brother lives out there, and so I was mostly happy that it was in L.A. just for that. The convention was sort of like an excuse to – I have to go back there fairly often for business, but this was, I didn't have anything to do except for the convention, so I got to hang out with a lot of friends and see, you know, conventions are the only time we all get to see each other, like guys like me and Chris and everybody that we work with. So, I thought it was cool. I mean, myself and the other artists, when you're at a show, you're kind of like a slave to the table and kind of being there and signing stuff and trying to move the prints that we made and stuff. I think the art show overall was good. I think there were a lot of artists and a lot of prints and almost too many, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like to the point where I think, you know, there's a lot of fans out there that would like to, you know, buy one of everything if they could, but obviously you can't, you know, especially when there's, you know, like 50 artists.
Right.
I think the Celebration 3 was a little more successful as far as my experience goes, as far as, you know, because we have to, you know, you do a painting, Lucasfilm invites you to do a painting and you do the prints, and a lot of us, mostly, you know, you end up spending not only a lot of time, but a lot of money, you know, making prints and putting them on really nice, you know, paper stock and shipping them out there and all this stuff. And it ends up being a pretty big expense for all of us artists to do such a big trip, you know. But but it's also worth it because it's so cool to be involved and to be one of these select few, you know, illustrators, you know. It's pretty fun. So it was all kind of, so, I mean, I definitely would do it again. It was cool. It was cool just this. There's like endless reference walking around.
yeah. Just if you have your camera, you can get work for a year out of it. Out of what's just standing and walking around all throughout all the aisles and whatnot. And I definitely count myself as one of those people who wanted to get as many as possible. But I agree that there was so much stuff there that, you know, it was very cost intensive to pick up everything that you wanted. And there was a lot of
it is tough because a lot of the people, you know, when I'm talking about expenses, like that kind of makes it so that we have to price the prints at a certain price so that we can pay for our expenses, you know, for the printing, for the shipping, for the, you know, the plane ticket out there, you know, for the booth space, all that kind of stuff. And so it is kind of tough for a lot of us to make it out there and put that much time and money into such an endeavor, you know. But it's you got to weigh it like, well, is it really worth it, you know? And yeah, it is cool and it is really worth it for a lot of us to come out there because you do get to be part of something that's pretty rare. But yeah, I think a lot of the fans were like, wow, why is that poster $80 or whatever, you know? they don't quite understand that, you know, the expense and the time, and that there's only 250 of them in the entire world. So,
right.
So it's kind of a weird market, you know. So it was a weird thing to be sitting there trying to sell something and have fun and.
Yeah, exactly. Chris, how did C4 go for you?
I think Tommy Lee summed it up pretty well. I think that was, about the same experience for me. It's tough being tied down to the table when you're also a fan and, you know, wanting to go around and check out the convention and see some panels and things like that. But being a part of the convention kind of worth the sacrifice, I guess.
Sure.
But it was a good show. Working as, you know, freelance artists, we don't get to see our colleagues very often, so. And that was one huge group of us there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was
definitely
good to talk to everybody, and, you know, it turns into a little family, like artist family, I guess, you know, seeing each other at the different celebration conventions. And, I haven't done, like, comic book conventions very much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at all, besides Star Wars Celebration. It's a unique experience, and it's good to see everybody and have a good time and talk about, you know, our various jobs and stuff.
Yeah, and I will definitely agree that being there in a working capacity, even though it's so much fun and it's so great to be there in that capacity and really be able to enjoy it, it takes on a whole different meaning for the convention, because you're constantly on the go, you're constantly up against the next thing that you're trying to do or tied to something that you have to do, and it definitely changes the way you look at the convention, as I found from my very first experience on the working side of things.
I
hope that was at least a pretty good experience for you guys, and hopefully we'll be able to see it at C5 if they get that off the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we'll be there.
As long as it's not in London, I think.
There you go. There you go.
That was a long trip.
Now, Chris, did you guys both go to Celebration Europe?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Okay, yes. And that was how did that compare? Because unfortunately I didn't get to go.
You didn't miss anything.
it was tough. I don't know, the convention itself. I'm sure from a fan point of view, looking at it strictly from a fan point of view, I was really impressed with some of the activities and things that they had, and it was a nicely put together convention. From the art side, it was a difficult convention. As Tommy Lee said, the expenses for producing such a short run of prints, it's a logistical problem usually.
Yeah.
And Europe made it tougher. I mean, it was a more expensive trip and everything else.
Right.
Tougher crowd too, because they hadn't been exposed to the previous Star Wars celebrations. Well, except for maybe the few that came over, overseas to for those. But
there's such different crowds at different kinds of cities, different kinds of shows. I mean, even where Chris said he doesn't do comic conventions hardly, and I do a lot of comic conventions because I do so many comic books. And it's a completely different crowd from a comic book convention versus like a Star Wars convention. Chris and I just did a Star Wars fan convention in Dallas, and at that show you get fans that they're fans of Star Wars. You know, they're fans of anything Star Wars is they want to be part of, and they want to check it out, and they're really curious about it. And when you go to a comic book convention, I think a lot of us illustrators, at least, and writers and stuff that make comics, you get this big fan base that's there to to see you because they like your work and they want to meet you. And so, you know, when you're at a Star Wars show, you really become part of the Star Wars. You know, you're kind of are engulfed in it, you know, and you're kind of this big, you're kind of just a piece of the huge pie. And we're at a Star Wars, we're at a comic book convention, you know, people come up with stacks of your books to sign and they want you to autograph stuff. They, you know, it's much more of a, you get much more of like a one-on-one kind of like feedback from your readers, from your fan base and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they know like, oh, okay, he's the guy who really does this stuff, or he's, you know, that's the girl that really writes this book, or that's the guy who really, you know, painted that poster I have on my wall or made that lunchbox or whatever. And where I think at the Star Wars shows, especially the one in Europe, I think they saw us as vendors selling expensive posters.
Yeah.
I don't think they quite understood that, wow, these are the guys that really do all these books that are out there and posters and advertising and packaging and all this stuff that we and all the kids are really into. So, I think for future shows, especially the one in London, it would be cool if it would be a fun challenge to figure out a way to maybe educate the audience a bit more, you know, to kind of like show, hey, these are really the guys, you know, I mean, everybody already knows who Mark Hamill is and,
right.
And, you know, those guys, you know, but it's the behind the scenes guys, you know, I mean, most of them may not even know, you know, the guys that we idolize, like Joe Johnston and Ralph McQuarrie.
Right.
So,
well, and, yeah, and
it's a different crowd.
There's several projects that we work on, you know, and that don't even get, you know, necessarily credited for either.
Right.
So that kind of, you know, there, I can see what Tommy Lee's saying about being part of the larger Star Wars, merchandising and stuff.
Sure, absolutely.
And separate the individuals out as much.
Yeah, and I think that will be the number one goal of the ForceCast for Celebration 5 is to make sure we get as many artists on as we can. You know, we started trying to do that this first time around, and this time we'll plan it a bit better, and that way everybody can get to know the people behind it. So, well, and let's get into a project that we want to make sure you get credit for, and that is the Essential Guide to the Force, the upcoming Jedi versus Sith book, and it was written by Ryder Windham and illustrated by the both of you. Tell us about how that project came about and what it's about.
You want me to go, or Chris? Sure. You want to go? You want me to go?
Yeah, if Tommy,
all right.
You take it.
Well, both Chris and I have worked with kind of our guy at Random House, Arish, and the guys up there before on other guidebooks. I did an essential chronology book, and Chris was it the aliens?
Yeah,
the aliens. So we've done two guidebooks before, and they're so gigantic. I mean, I really, the writers on this stuff just seem to know Star Wars inside and out. I mean, if you think you know Star Wars and you read these books and you're like, oh my God.
Right.
I mean, there's, you know, roughly 120 illustrations in this book, you know, full color, you know, very tightly realized illustrations. And so, I mean, the chronology book that I did a couple of years ago, I think I did like 50-some illustrations. And on this book, I think Chris and I did about 60 each. And it's just completely exhausting. I mean, you have to really love Star Wars to really tackle such a huge project, you know. And also, you know, we're typically working on other jobs at the same time, you know, But yeah, so it's a good way to kind of like have that much art. It's smart to kind of have two guys tackle such a huge project, you know. I think one person would probably go out of his mind.
I wouldn't mind it if it was three.
Yeah. But yeah, it was cool. It was so I think from my experience, I just absolutely love working with those guys up there. And I was pretty burnt out after the chronology one I did a couple years ago. And then I was talking with them about wanting to do another one, that I was, you know, physically and mentally ready to do another one. So this one came along and actually they were joking because they said, yeah, it's going to be mostly all, you know, figures and stuff, because I really like to paint, people and very minimal ships. So then they just kind of start feeding us, you know, they have a transcript from Ryder on basically everything that's going to be in the book. And then Random House tries to kind of figure out what's going to be illustrated, you know, and they come up with like an art list, and then it's, you know, a lot of organization that they have to go through to figure out, okay, this is going to be a spread, or this is going to be a quarter page, and this one's going to go to Chris, this one's going to go to Tommy, how are you going to split this up, you know? And then, of course, I'm going, well, I want to do more movie stuff, and I'm sure Chris is saying the same thing. You know, I'm sure Chris is, I want all the Empire Strikes Back scenes, you know? It's pretty cool. And as I was sitting there working, it was nice to know that somebody else was suffering.
Yes.
It's pretty fun though to be able to like look through the list though and go, oh man, this is going to be cool. Oh, this is going to be great, you know. And that beginning stage of like coming up with the ideas and all that it's so exciting, you know, it's fun. And after a while, yeah, it does become, you know, really hard and everything, but you know, you get it done, you meet the deadline, you get it in, it comes out, it prints really nice. I think the book looks really great. And when it's all done, you know, it's like to have something that's not only Star Wars, but then something that you're proud of is pretty cool.
Now, what's the breadth of this book? This kind of is just kind of a history of the Force, essentially. It's from the very beginning kind of on through all of what we've seen and kind of even into the newer EU stuff. Is that right?
Sure. It covers just about everything. Like, part of it's like a history book, so you're covering different historical events between, you know, the Jedi and the Sith. There's a lot of character reference stuff.
It's kind of like the other guidebooks where they're like encyclopedias in a way, I guess, you know?
Yeah, this one's not really laid out as much like that.
It's true, yeah.
It's more like the one that Tommy worked on with the chronology, but and there's also the character stuff thrown in. There's a whole section on history and holocrons. Just looking at the table of contents here. Whole section on Jedi powers, forms of lightsaber combat. I know that was Tommy Lee's favorite.
Actually, those ends up being like some of my favorite illustrations. And they're just almost just silhouettes with lightsabers. And I was really, in the beginning, it was funny, I did all these sketches for what I was going to do, and then Random House came back and said, now these are based on the real, actual lightsaber forms, right? And I said, there are such things. tell me what they are, and I'll paint them, you know, I'll draw them, you know, but... what's cool now is, like I said, it's kind of educational for me as well, because now, okay, yeah, there actually are lightsaber forms, and here they are in this book, you know, so, and, different kinds of techniques and stuff, so, you know, so, you, yeah, there's the lightsaber stuff, then it goes into force powers, like lightning and stripping, like a strip joint,
yeah, we don't have those in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, force, like stripping their powers and, you know, all this kind of, you know, stuff that you know, Jedi and Sith do throughout time. Yeah, and it does cover the movies, all the, you know, the classics, the prequels, and all the expanded universe stuff. So it's packed with stuff.
Now, we talked about earlier the fact that some of the EU stuff gave you fits. Is there anything in particular that just drove you nuts? Was there one particular thing that just drove you absolutely crazy?
I'll think about it. Chris, can you think of anything?
I was going to think about it.
I can't think of anything that really drove me. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me right now. If I did, I could probably think
through it.
Would it be one of those things if you had it, you could turn to each page and go, oh, this is, all right, no, wait, this one is it. No, all right, this one.
It's probably not a specific one as much as just a general kind of, like I would find reference from some certain comic or something of a certain character, and then eventually, I would do a sketch based on that costume, and then later we find out that, oh no, Lucasfilm likes this version of it that was drawn in this certain role-playing guide, role-playing book or something, and it would be completely, tweaked, and I'd have to go back to square one, really. So there's just a lot of, but I guess in a way that's why it's kind of good that these books are done, so that hopefully these in a way will be kind of the style guide, it'll be kind of like the Bible for maybe the definitive versions of some of the EU stuff, I think it's, just little variations on, his vest has this many pockets on it and, whatever, and you're going from a Xerox of a comic book,
Yeah.
So, but generally, you actually get a lot more leeway than you really think. Like afterward, when you're dealing with it, it gets frustrating stuff. But for the most part, of all the like licensed kind of stuff that I work on, like Batman or Harry Potter or Superman or any of the movie stuff, Star Wars, that's one of the reasons I always like to work on it, is because Lucasfilm's always been the most kind of artist friendly as far as my experience goes. They really do give me a lot of freedom and a lot of, I can hand in really loose sketches and they generally know what they're going to get, though. I think that's kind of what Chris and I were talking about, where you kind of build a relationship and they kind of know you and they know what they're going to get. They know they're going to get the job in on time. They know it's going to be of quality. They know, so they know that they can, that you can be one of their guys, that they can recommend for certain jobs or to try and get you involved in certain things.
Right. Well, I our very own Jedi Holocron, Jay Shepard, he would be remiss if I didn't ask you this question, and this goes out to either one of you. Either one of you can answer. Which is more macho, Jedi or Sith?
Macho?
Yes. As our favorite expression on the show, which is more grizzled, Jedi or Sith?
I have to say a dark Jedi, so go in between.
Not quite Sith, but somebody who's had a rough life anyway.
Right, and they're just a rebel.
Well, now the book is due out November 20th, I have to say it looks beautiful, and there's 256 pages with, you said there was 60 each, 60 illustrations by each of you, is that right?
Yeah.
And all full color and really well laid out. So definitely looking forward to seeing that. You said there's a lot of variety in there, Chris?
Yeah, from characters, technology, the sections on lightsabers and holocrons.
So some of it could be like a painting of literally just a lightsaber or a holocron, and then another painting could be, of a full-on giant battle, So we that was actually kind of a nice way for us to split it up as well, was, for every giant battle scene you had to paint or something, you did have just like a portrait of a character or something, so you weren't having to kill yourself on each piece.
I remember I had a couple of big crowd scenes, but it was nice to space those out with, some more more character-driven pieces or duels between different characters, the ghost of Obi-Wan appearing to Luke, which was probably one of my favorites. But
There's a lot of stuff that I found myself making my schedule based on how hard I thought certain pieces would be. So I would kind of put on the calendar literally like, okay, I'm going to try and have these ones done by this date, these ones done by that date, and I would kind of schedule it so that I'd have, you know, like a hard one and an easier one and a hard one and an easier one, something like that, and just try and plan out the summer.
and did that work pretty well for you?
Yeah.
It was a tough project to plan out, working on it for most of this year. I think it started in January and finished.
Oh my God, is that when we started?
I think so. I think that's when I got the job. I don't know if that's when I started drawing. There was so much research involved too. So,
a lot of
prep time.
Right, and the nice thing is that it all comes to fruition next week, and you can go to your local bookstore and look and say, you know what, that was mine. And like you said, there are some people who will know right off the bat, and there are some people who will not realize the genius that is walking next to them when they're pointing at the book. So, but fellas,
are you doing more Star Wars stuff, Chris, after this? Or
I've got a few projects going right now, actually. Still writing for The Insider, so I got a couple of articles I've been working on right now. Designing some miniatures for the Star Wars miniatures game from Wizards of the Coast. And StarWars.com just made the announcement this week that I'm working on the Star Wars blueprints for DK.
Cool.
Which is my next giant project I seem to have just walked into.
Well,
be running till next year.
Right. And
which is also written by Ryder, coincidentally. So
wow.
I just both fell into the next project.
Well, and I saw that today, and I thought about that because I remember that's one of the most vivid things I remember is there was a packet of blueprints from the original movies that they had.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I remember picking it up at a garage sale for $2, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world because it was, you know, it was so cheap and it was so great, and I wish I still had it. But I saw that and I was like, oh good, I finally get to get it back, get back all those blueprints that I had.
I dug out my copy. I'm referencing those.
Well, we know they'll be true to the source material then. So
I'm trying. So.
Tommy Lee, do you have anything else on tap that you can share with us?
It's not with Star Wars, which is not a bad thing right now. So right now I'm just concentrating on doing some comics right now. I'm doing a comic for Marvel called 1985, written by Mark Miller, that'll start coming out in May, and just various, you know, little concept things for games and some movie stuff and animation stuff, and just kind of doing some. I like to, after I've done a project that's so single image type stuff and it's really tight, I'm kind of enjoying going back and doing some sequential stuff in comics, which is, you know, completely different. And that's all drawn with ink and colored in Photoshop. And then the stuff that I do that's conceptual stuff for like EA Games or somebody would be more, you know, sketchy and just charcoal and stuff like that, where I don't have to go so tight. So I kind of can recharge my batteries a bit and then get back into doing some more really tightly rendered paintings, you know, probably soon. I'm talking with Random House about doing a different project, but it's not Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
But it's sort of related, but not.
and top secret until all the details are finalized.
Yeah, until we know for sure and all that.
Exactly. Well, guys, it's been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on. The book looks great, and I hope sometime in the near future we can have you back on to kind of discuss the details of the book a little bit, and maybe get some questions from some fans and just see what you guys have to share.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be great.
This party's over. This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.